Shall we pray? Father, we bow our hearts before you, Lord, asking you, O God, to enable us to understand that faith has been designed so that we can become sons of God. That faith has been designed, O God, so that we can become, O God, a kingly people, O God. That faith has been designed so that we will be a holy priesthood, Father. That faith has been designed, O God, so that we can become tabernacles of the living God. That faith has been defined so that we will become a prophetic people, O God, who will unfold the oracles of our God. We ask you, O God, to enable us to understand how powerful, O God, is the design of this faith. And we pray that, Lord, that we will utilize this faith, Lord, that you have given us as a gift, so that we will truly, O God, be a gifted people for your glory, O Lord. That we will be a gifted people, O God, who will unveil the witness and testament that we are each, O God, finished, O God, in the faith and love that comes from Jesus Christ. For he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He is the mediator of the covenant in the tablets of our hearts. He is the one who ever lives to intercede for us. And so we pray that the ministry of Jesus Christ in his faith and his love for us will be brought to fulfillment in the body of Christ, Lord, so that we may become all that you have ordained, O God, each one of us to be in your holy word. Bless us, O God, that we will understand your holy purpose with each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is, what has God designed faith to be? What has God designed faith to be? We start with Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God has given each one of us a measure of faith. But we have to exercise that faith correctly. We have to exercise that faith correctly. If we exercise that faith correctly, then we will realize that God has an awesome purpose for each and every one of us. If we don't exercise that faith correctly, then we will open doors that will bring destruction into our lives. I want to first mention what happens when faith is developed the wrong way. So let's turn first to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Now that is a faith reality. A faith reality manifested in a self-denominated ambition. You need to understand this, that all of us have the capacity of manifesting this sort of a faith. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will be number one. I will sit down on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. You will understand this is a self-denominated faith. It talks about I. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And finally comes the clincher. I will make myself like the Most High. I will make myself like the Most High. Now this is an example of false faith. And this faith, God broke. Lucifer only realized what he had done when God threw him and one third of his angels out. As Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Only when he fell like lightning did he understand who God was and how small he was. But until then, he had developed a self-centered faith reality that declared that he could do anything and be anything that he wanted to be. Finally, he convinced himself that he could actually become like the Most High God. I will make myself like the Most High God. Now, this is how God has not designed faith to be. Yet, this sort of a faith has been taught in the church. There are many people who think they can be anything that they want to be. You can be anything that God wants you to be. You can be anything that is consistent with God's word, according to God's plan and God's will for your life. But you cannot be anything that you want to be. All right, so I would like to get that right off the bat, okay? So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. So faith is premised on the fact that God is. If God is, there is no meaning to faith. If God is not, then there is no meaning to faith. Faith is premised, true faith is premised entirely on the fact that God is. That we come to God, that faith has been designed to enable us to relate to God. And what God has for us, because he is a rewarder of our faith. So if you read this verse, it says, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So faith is designed so that we can receive the rewards that God gives. And everything that God gives is a reward because we don't deserve anything in and of ourselves. We stand before God in the merits of the Lamb. So we need to understand that what God has for us is what we can have through faith, true faith. What God has not ordained, we cannot go and get it. God is supreme, he is sovereign. And what he has willed is all that there will be ultimately in the universe. What he has not willed will never come into being. Now we may be able to generate that out of our own strength of will, but it will only stand for a time and a season. So if you look at the scriptures, you will find that Lucifer only stands for a time and a season. And after that, he will be no more. After that, he will be no more. No matter how powerful he may seem to be at some times, even in our own experience, he will ultimately be no more. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 15. Now this is talking about the covering cherub who is called Lucifer. Chapter 28, verse 15. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. And then God declares, I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before the before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Sanctuaries that God had opened to him. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. That's terrible. It has consumed you. And I have turned you to ashes on the earth. And this is something that will happen in the future. Why did Lucifer fall? Because he made himself the basis of all truth. He analyzed all things from himself, the perspective of himself. He measured all things according to what he perceived, what he knew, and what he understood. That is false faith. Faith that is self-denominated. Faith that is based on self-denominated ability. He was anointed tremendously. He was anointed powerfully. And he fell. Now that can happen to any one of us. We have seen gifted men of God fall. And if you look at why men of God fall, it is always because of self-denominated realities. They just thought too highly of themselves. And we all have the capacity to think like that. You have it, I have it. So faith, true faith, must always make God God. Must always see God as God. That God is absolutely and totally and comprehensively sovereign. He cannot be anything else. And a faith that denies God that position is a faith that will bring destruction to our lives. You know, some of the things that Lucifer experienced, we have experienced. You were internally filled with violence. There are times when we have felt like that. Somebody does something to us and we get very violent on the inside. Nobody may see it. We may look very serene on the outside. But there are things that are moved inside of us that make us very, very angry. Same sort of thing. If you allow that thing to develop, that's what will happen. Right? You were internally filled with violence. Verse 16. Verse 15, until righteousness was found in you. In you. Not based on what you did, but based on what you have inside of you. Always remember that faith has an evidence. Huh? You remember, you know Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, King James Bible, or New King James Bible. Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. That evidence of the unseen is very important. That's why when you move in spiritual gifts, the evidence of the unseen that is of truth will always evidence itself in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is how you measure whether you are functioning in true faith or you're functioning in false faith. You can't judge whether you're doing well based on your giftings and your anointings. You can only judge whether you are doing the right thing or the wrong thing based on what is manifested within you, where nobody can see except you and God. So somebody can do something, and that's what the accuser does. He accuses you, and he hopes that he can generate the venom of his anger inside of you. That's what he's always trying to do. People cheat you, people betray you, people run away from you. People tell falsehood about you. Satan doesn't matter what kind of a game it is. All he wants you is to respond to his darkness. And every response that human beings make is a response based out of belief. And belief can be very subtle in its forms. That's why self-righteousness is the highest form of sin. I am right and everybody else is wrong. And we fail to see that man cannot be right in and of himself. Only God is right. Only God is good. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. You remember the young man who came to see Jesus and said, "What must I do?" And Jesus took him to the law, and the young man very blithely said, "Oh yes, I observe all this law." So Jesus said, "Go and sell everything that you have and come follow me." And the young man walked away very dejectedly. Why did Jesus say what he said? Because the young man said he observed my law. What does the law demand? That you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So when the young man said, "I observe the law," Jesus said, "Go and sell everything and come, since you love me so much." Fair question, isn't it? He wanted to teach the young man something, and the young man walked away very dejectedly. The disciples turned to him and said, "If this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who the dickens is going to come inside there?" And Jesus said, "With man it is impossible. We are the workmanship of God." And that's why faith has been given to us, so that God can do with us what only he can do. Lucifer decided that he will be what he can make himself to be. That's the difference. As Christians, we always have this choice. Do it my way or do it God's way. It's always there. It's in your marriage. It's in the way you bring up your kids and the way you talk to your relatives, the way you do anything in your job situation, the way you conduct your ministry, the way you do anything. There's always this, do it my way or do it God's way. And as you mature as a Christian, it's very important. I'm not talking here about those who have just come into the kingdom of God, all right? I'm talking about those who have already tasted God, those who have come alive to the Holy Spirit, those who are already beginning to taste the deeper things of God. And it's so very important that you understand that you must be the workmanship of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. Listen to the words. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. You are not your own creation. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has ordained beforehand. God's will is sovereign. Faith is meant to recognize that sovereignty of God. God is God and there's nobody else who is going to be God. That's why Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith and my faith. The author means he originates something that is not there in the first place. God has given you a measure of faith and he expects you to exercise that faith in God and what God has given you in Christ Jesus. As you do that, Jesus authors and perfects your faith or finishes your faith as he works with you. And what he is trying to manifest in you is a faith that will be unshakable. A faith that is shaped in a confidence that is entirely built out of who God is and all that God is. You are designed for that. That's why the Bible says, by law, you shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So faith as an evidence. What is the evidence God wants to bring inside of you and me? The evidence of who God is and how great God is. And as you taste and see that the Lord your God is good, you will fall in love with him. That's how the law is going to be fulfilled. But faith is a key ingredient to you and me loving God. Because you cannot love a God whom you don't taste and see. You cannot love a God whom you don't live by. Belief cannot achieve that. So faith is a necessary ingredient to you experiencing the evidence of God and you relating to the God who has been opened to your own heart. Fair enough? Now, you don't see this thing by law, okay? You see this thing by grace. By grace. God is always in the process of trying to teach you who he is. Always. He gives you a gift. You run away with the gift and say, I have it. And you learn that you don't have it. That it is not based on you. Somewhere along the line, you will learn that. Young pastors come into the ministry. The first time they see gifts operating, the first thing they do is they think they have it now. So they go out and they do things their way. And 5 years later, they find out that it's not their way. Hard lesson, but necessary lesson. That doesn't mean God has abandoned the pastor. He still loves him. He's just trying to teach him how to do things the right way. Learn from your mistakes. We all make mistakes. Nothing wrong with a mistake, as long as you learn from it. Because God loves us. He really loves us. God loved Lucifer too. That's why he says, oh, how you have fallen. O star of the morning, son of the dawn. It is not just a judgment. It's a proclamation of a heart that is broken. Oh, how you have fallen. I gave you everything and you fell. He must have warned him time and time again, but he never listened. He was just too full of himself. He was so impressed with himself. I'm so anointed. The angels were so impressed with him. One third of the angels chose him over God. So he must have been very anointed. Very impressive. When he walked in, it was like God walked in, isn't it? Can you imagine manifesting an anointing like that? We can't imagine that. But Lucifer carried such an anointing. Such an amazing reality of presence. So one third of the angels made an objective decision. He is God. He can be God. He said, I will make myself like the Most High God. And they said, Amen. The Hallelujah chorus. So sometimes we make men of God gods, isn't it? Why? Because they are so impressive on the pulpit. Look so anointed, look so good. The words just flow out of their mouth so easily. And we forget it's all a gift. It's all a gift. It's all given. It's a God-given gift. It is given by grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It is not merit upon merit. That's why when you are in the new covenant is structured out of grace. It is not structured out of merit. John 1:16, of his fullness we have all received, fullness of Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So anything realized through Jesus Christ comes to you by grace. Grace in truth. Realization is inside here. How do you realize? By faith. The faith manifests the evidence of what God has given you in the name of Jesus Christ. So you receive the gift and you stand in the office of whatever God has called you to be. And there are several people here called to stand in high office. But don't ever think it is because you are smarter than the guy next to you. It doesn't work like that. Because what God begins in anybody's life does not end. So someone may start from here and you may start from there. But that's not the end of the story. And you may stand up there and you may look at the guy down there and you say, oh my goodness, am I not wonderful? The Bible says categorically, Jesus Christ is wonderful. Your faith has to realize that Jesus Christ is wonderful. Because if Jesus Christ is not wonderful in your heart, you will go on to do many other things that will crown yourself as being wonderful. Why? Because it is natural to us. We think like that, we feel like that. We are ambitious people. You may not realize that because you have not realized high position. But when the position opens, you will be amazed how many new things come out of you. You begin to realize characteristics of your nature and your character that you never knew before. And it can sometimes shock you. 10 years after you have become a pastor, 15 years after you have become a pastor, I'm 15 years, I think, somewhere around there. I'm sometimes shocked by what is inside of me. That's why Jesus said, only God is good. Why do you call me good? You're telling two things. God is good, and he is good because he is also God in flesh. So you and I are good based on Christ alive in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Based on whose merits? Based on the merits of Christ Jesus. Based on the merits of Christ Jesus, you and I are morning stars. Based on the merits of Christ Jesus, you and I are sons of God. Based on the merits of Christ Jesus, you and I are a royal priesthood. We stand as kings. Based on the merits of Christ Jesus, you and I are a prophetic people. You and I are designed to manifest the oracles of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, King James Bible. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Anyone means any one of us sitting here. That's ultimately what God has designed us to be. Now, we don't speak like the oracles of God most often. But nonetheless, no matter how we behave, God's design is for you and me to become oracles of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So faith is the substance, and that substance is what is your ability. Now, where you focus is what is going to manifest inside of you. Lucifer focused on himself. I can do this, I can achieve that, I can believe this for myself. But if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, then the substance of your faith will be of Jesus Christ. And he is the author and finisher of your faith. He is the true man. He is the blueprint for the sons of God. He is the blueprint for a new person, that is you. You are created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the living God, so that you can walk into the good works that God has ordained in your life. The psalmist writes, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." We don't know anything about that. Lucifer experienced what it was like to be made by God and out what it was like to shine with the glory of God. But he decided it was because of me. That was his big mistake. He saw God, he stood as the covering cherub before God, but he refused to see God as he really was. He refused to see God as he really was. He refused to appreciate God for what he was. He refused to appreciate God for what God freely bestowed on him. You understand that? Now, we are sinners. We came out of sin. When the seed of Christ was planted inside of us, we were born again. That seed of Christ was planted in us based on the faith of God for us. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he believed with a faith and a love and a forgiveness that you and I, receiving of him, will become sons of God. That's why he took the cross. That's why when he celebrates Holy Communion with his disciples in Luke chapter 22, verse 14, 15, and 16, he says, with fervent, I'm quoting from the paraphrasing from the New King James Bible, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, who would fervently desire before he suffers? In a few hours more, he's going to go through a horrendous suffering. One of these days, we are going to show the Passion of Christ here. And you can watch for yourself some part of what it was like to be crucified. But Jesus says, in the face of that crucifixion, with fervent desire, "I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, it will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Where is the kingdom of God? Within you and within me and amongst us. When you understand faith, true faith, you've got to understand this, that faith manifests a Passover, makes us something that we cannot be inherently of ourselves. That's powerful. When God took Father Abraham out, he said, "Look at the stars in the heavens." Why? Because prophetically, we are all called morning stars. But Jesus is called the bright morning star. In the physical universe, the smallest star in the physical universe is our sun. So God takes Father Abraham out and he says, "Your descendants will be like the stars." Now, when you look at the vastness of the universe and you look at those stars, although individually they can be shining brilliantly, but in the context of the whole universe, they are just little lights in the universe, isn't it? That's the picture God is trying to tell us. But Lucifer was not willing to see that kind of thing. He wanted to be the light in the universe. Yeah? Now God is withholding nothing good from any one of us. But he's saying, you must understand that I have brought out a body. And these are all my sons, and I will raise them uniquely to stand in the universe that I have created as morning stars. That is my will. You are not the only star. Huh? You and I are not the only star. We are one of many, many stars in the making. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. So that star is going to be fashioned out of the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. So faith is designed to make you what God wants you to become. It's very important for you to understand that, because your faith must be guided by the Word of God. Your faith must be manifested in the understanding of the Word. You must check this out. Because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says that by faith we understand. By faith, Lucifer understood that he could become God, but it was a wrong understanding. By faith, Lucifer knew that his anointings and his giftings could be used to influence millions of angels. He knew how powerful it could be, but it was a false understanding. So what is true understanding? You find true understanding defined in Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. And Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says that understanding is knowing the Holy One. Understanding is knowing the Holy One. So if your faith is true, then the result of that is that you know God. You know how great God is. You know how wonderfully God has anointed you and appointed you for high purpose. And the more you know God, the more humble you will be. Not proudful. Why? Because if you stand in high office, it is because God has anointed you for that high office. He's given it to you. He's developed it inside of you. He's seen you through your failures and your character flaws, and he has given you and brought you into that high office. It's a gift. Yeah, it's a gift. When Peter was appointed to head the church, it was not because he deserved to stand there. By merits, he would never have been chosen. He had just betrayed his Lord and Master after opening his big mouth and saying, "I will die for you." But Jesus saw beyond Peter's failings. He saw, based on the faith of God, that this loudmouth fisherman would become a great apostle. Yeah? So this, what kind of person you and I are, God sees beyond what you and I are. And he sees, these are my sons. I've chosen them. I've shed my blood for them because these are my sons and these are my daughters. These are my chosen vessels. In them I will manifest my presence. In them I will manifest the reality of my name. They will be fearfully and wonderfully made because I have chosen to express something of me in each and every one of them. Praise the Lord. True faith, powerful. True faith is creative. So take care what you believe in. Take care who you believe in. That's why faith is based on the person of God. It is not based on a principle. It is based on the person of God. So Lucifer fell. Why did he fall? God said, because of your wisdom you fell. Because you thought you knew something. Because you thought you were smart. Because you thought you were clever. Because you thought you knew this and you knew that. That's why you fell. By reason of your splendor, by reason of your great wisdom. Jesus Christ is Lord. Wives, be submitted to your husband. Why does he say that? He's talking about the church and Christ. So that the wife will understand that she is standing, the bride of the Lamb will understand that she is standing entirely based on his merits, 100%. Not 99.99%, but 100%. Absolutely, totally, comprehensively. The bride stands entirely because of him. The bride stands because of his faith for her, because of his love for her, because he is even now the apostle and the high priest of each one of our confessions. That even right now, he is the author and the finisher of your faith and my faith. Even now, he ever lives to intercede for us. The finished work of the cross is being worked into us based on the kind intentions of the witness and testimony of Jesus towards you personally. And when you see something real come inside of your life that you know you would never have done in yourself, isn't it right that he should be crowned king in your heart? Shouldn't your faith testify, this is my Lord, and he's done this for me? This is not because I fasted 40 days and 40 nights, but this is because he carried me through those 40 days and 40 nights so that I could realize what God had defined in his merits for me. Yeah? All of us have changed. But how many of us appreciate that that change would never have been done by any religion in the world? You could have sat under the mango tree, under the coconut tree, under the banana tree. You would have never achieved it. If you sat down and you meditated until the cows come in, you would never have achieved it. You would never have been born again. True faith. True faith declares that God is sovereign, that he is the provider. How many percent the provider? 100% the provider. We need to change in our thinking, because so often we think, I did it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for enabling me to do it. But the point is this, if he had not enabled you to do it, you would never have done it. Not on a sustainable basis. Not with that level of brilliance. There are so many people in the world who think they are very smart. They think they are very talented. There are people in the church who think they are very anointed too. But you received it. You received it based on somebody's faith for you. Let me show you a couple of verses that tell you this, from the old King James Bible. The new translations have all changed this. But if you go back to the old King James Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you based on whose faith? Based on God's faith. It is the will of God that Christ live in you and me. Otherwise, that wouldn't have happened. Christ is living in you and me based on God's faith, because God was willing to believe for us. Perhaps I'm going too far. Just hold on here. Galatians 2:20. Let me show you a verse that's found in Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 11, or Mark chapter 12. Let's turn to that. Hold on, please. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. If you go to the literal translation of the Bible, if you go to Young's literal translation, or if you go to some of the study Bibles for the old King James Bible, you will find that the literal Greek there is have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. It's the faith of God that moves mountains. It's the faith of God that enabled the seed of Christ to be planted inside of you. You responded to what God believed for you, and you were born again. But Jesus goes on to say, have the faith of God. So in Galatians 2:20, in the old King James Bible, it tells us through Paul that faith of God is manifested to us through the faith of Jesus Christ. That's why he is the author and finisher of your faith. What is he authoring and finishing your faith with? His faith. Can you see that? That's why all things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. All things. We can't do all things. But all things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. Yeah? So he said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved. Whose faith? Like a mustard seed. God's faith like a mustard seed. You can move the mountains. In Matthew, he actually says, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. Amazing. Based on whose faith? Based on faith that is manifested in truth. Who is truth? God is the truth. I am the truth, Jesus said. I am is the manifestation of the name of God through Jesus Christ unto us. So in Galatians 20, this is what Paul writes. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. If you have an old King James Bible, that's what it says. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Old King James Bible. All the modern translations have translated the word of into in. All right? So true faith comes to you in and by and through the witness and testimony of Jesus. That's why Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's the basis of all that is prophetic. It's the basis of all that is prophetic. Otherwise, it's not sustainable. So we have seen great men of God under the law, right? Moses was a great man of God. What happened to him? Why couldn't he enter the promised land? He got angry with God, right? He got angry with God and he struck the rock. Elijah. Elijah did great and wonderful things in the name of God. Then he got frightened. And then he runs to the mount of God and he says, I'm the only one left for you, Lord. There's nobody else. Everybody else is gone. And God says, no, nobody can defeat me. Yeah? John the Baptist in jail turns around to Jesus Christ and he says, send someone to tell him. Ask him, are you the Christ? So obviously, the faith that comes through the law cannot achieve the righteousness of God. Yeah? But the faith that went to the cross, the faith that overcame death, the faith that was expressed in a perfect love for you and me, that faith, that can stand all things. That faith is indestructible. That faith is the work, the faith of God manifested in the man Jesus for you and me. In human terms, that faith is what Jesus is busy working into you and me by the Holy Spirit. That is the faith that will make you and me perfect sons unto God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, Jesus says, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, how do you propose to do that, brother? How long do you want to pray? You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, how are you going to do that? How long do you want to fast? How many pages of the Bible do you want to memorize? So what is he talking about? But if you and I are fashioned and formed in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, then we too, in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, will be like our Father. Yeah? Praise the Lord.
Someone asked the question in our alpha sessions in the workplace alpha session. What is the minimum criteria to be with God? The minimum criteria is perfection, brother. Because if you have broken one law, you've broken all the laws. So where do you want to start? Right? I didn't say that. If you've broken one law, you've broken them all. So what is God telling you? He's talking that the criteria for communion with God is perfection. Who else is perfect but God himself? So true faith is designed to make you perfect. By grace, not by merit. Hello, are you listening? By grace. If you live by the law, you will never make the grade. The grade by the law. It's only by grace. Yeah? But grace is not a cop-out. Grace is faith based on a faith that God is developing and building inside of you and me. That is the good news. So don't look at yourself, oh my goodness, every time I open the Bible, I go to sleep. There is an answer to that. Jesus didn't go to sleep. Every time I go through a little bit of hardship, I complain. Jesus went through the cross without complaining. We are disobedient by nature. Jesus Christ never disobeyed the Father. We are ambitious people, always on the run, chasing the cheese. Where have you read in the scripture Jesus ran? Huh? Where have you read in the scripture Jesus ran? He was never in a hurry, and he was supposed to save the whole world. He was supposed to heal the whole of mankind. Right? Where did you read that he ran from Jerusalem to somewhere else? Who knows? Right? He never ran. He just did what God wanted him to do. Why? Because God's plan is a perfect plan. As a man, he understood he was part of that plan. Yeah? Let's turn to Psalm 110. Psalm 110 from verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord. Now who is David calling my Lord? He's calling the Messiah my Lord, okay? And he says, the Lord, Yahweh, says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Praise the Lord. And then he says, verse 3, thy people will volunteer freely in the day of thy power. In holy array from the womb of the dawn, thy youth are to thee as the dew. In the day of his power, we will do those things that God wants us to do. But we are all so busy doing things in our power. That's the problem. The day of his power, we are not allowing it to come forth. Huh? We want to do something in church. We sit down and we apply all the knowledge we have learned in the world system. We bring it there. We sit as a committee, we apply our minds to it, and we say, this is how it is a good idea. It may be a brilliant idea, but is it a God idea? That's the question. Jesus healed the blind man. How did he heal the blind man? He spat, he mixed it up, and he put it on his eyes. Why did he do that? Because it was a God idea. No sensible man would have done that. Come off it. Yeah? No sensible guy would have done it. Why not just lay your hands on him and say, be healed, be open, finished? After all, he raised the dead by that. Why did he spit on the ground, mix up, make a mash out of it, and put it on the eyes of the guy? Couldn't it have been done in a more elegant way? Yeah? Why? Because God said so. Yeah? But we are always telling, Lord, I know it now. I'm anointed, I'm smart, I'm gifted, I know it now. This is how we will do the ministry. And God is saying, that's not how I want you to do the ministry. I want you to do it my way. I want my son to be the way in your heart. Why? Because your way and my way doesn't work. It's the story of our life, isn't it? Come off it. How long do we have to learn this lesson? Come off it, guys. Huh? As we get older and older, what is the lesson God is trying to tell us? Your way doesn't work, my son. Isn't it as simple as that? Your way doesn't make sense. You're dying. Why are you dying? You're dying because your way does not work. But we think by 30, if we make our first million, we are a success story. Really? I like to see your success story when you're 70. It's not how you start that counts, it is how you finish. Yeah? It is not how you start, it is how you finish. Have you met people who have been a success story in their lives and had power and authority? And have you watched them in their old age? So where is the success? But Moses stands up and says, it is time for me to go. And he just climbs up the mountain and he goes. At the age of 100 plus, he has the strength to climb up the mountain. His eyes never dimmed. Why? Because he was a vessel of the Lord, because he represented the work of God. I read the story of a pastor who told his congregation, it is time for me to go home, the Lord says so. He sat down after preaching his sermon and he died. Praise the Lord. You know, I used to watch my father pray and I used to laugh at him and say, why is the old man praying? You know, there's so many things to do in this world and all he does is pray. Until I watched him die. And when I saw him die, he had a smile on his face and I said, what is he smiling about? It's not how you begin. It's how you finish. True faith stands the test of time. True faith produces an evidence that speaks beyond death. True faith manifests fruit that will flow from generation to generation. God's blessed you and me, not just for ourselves, for our generations. Yes, brethren, generations, nations. That's what it means to be inheritors of the blessings of Abraham. We all become fathers of nations. That is true faith. Nations. Nations that will stand in the greatness of the God who has touched them. Because you were faithful to the Lord. That's true faith. So we are standing here from pagan nations because of the faith of one man. Abraham, who turned to God and said, all right, but Abraham, who saw something that everybody else could not see, and God made a promise with him. And as a result of that promise, based on God's faith, that Abraham responded to by faith too, you and I are standing here. Abraham's faith didn't produce us. God's faith did. God's faith manifested through Jesus Christ, planted as the seed of Christ in each one of our lives, has made us born again. That's why we are here. That's why there is life in our faces. That's why there is peace in our hearts. We all have our fair share of problems and difficulties, but there is peace in our heart. The peace that passeth all understanding. Based on what? Based on God's vow over your life. Let's turn, before we end, to Isaiah 54. Verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Covenant of peace, based on whose faith? Based on God's faith, answered by Jesus' faith. That's where the covenant is made, between God and the man Jesus Christ. A covenant of peace based on whose blood? The blood of Jesus Christ. But you and I have that peace inside of us. It's real. Sometimes we can't explain it. Everything is going haywire around us, and yet amazingly we have a peace inside of us. That's God saying, I'm still there and my hand is still on your life. You belong to me, purchased in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. True faith. Powerful. And nothing will be impossible to you and me. No matter how many mistakes we make, guys. We make mistakes. That's not the problem. The problem is to respond to God. The answer is to respond to God. If you respond to God continuously, then you will see the faith of God nourish in you, a faith that will enable you to draw upon God those things that you think are impossible. Just look at the things that you do today. If you're a mature Christian, you understand there are so many things you are able to do today that 10 years ago you would never have even thought of doing. Come on, where did it come from, guys? Whose work is that? Based on whose faith? Yes, it is based on your faith, but somebody worked that faith into you. Yeah? Somebody worked that faith inside of you. Some of us have faith that people get healed. Some of us have faith for so many things. But that is a God-given reality, right? Praise the Lord. So God is doing a diverse work with us. An awesome work. So this was our introduction to true faith. All right? So let's celebrate communion, right? Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. What does the phrase, the hour had come, mean? It was God's appointed time. Two things are mentioned here. Jesus knew it was God's appointed time, and it was God's appointed time. It was an appointed time for something based on God's omniscience to be manifested through faith into a human realm. Jesus in his heart knew that it was the appointed time. God ordained a point in time. Jesus responded to that point in time. And that is the basis of the Passover. That is the prophetic reality of the Passover in your life and my life. We don't live in chronological time, chronos time. We live in appointed time. I think the word for that is, what's that? What's the Greek word for appointed time? I forget the name. Anyway, there's an appointed time. But at appointed times, God has done things in your life. You must understand that. Okay? At appointed times. So when the hour had come, the exact time, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Now that is a position that God has ordained that will stand over the church of Jesus Christ forever. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's what it means. That's what is the prophetic reality. That's where you and I are going to stand and function in, no matter where we stand in God's universe. We are seated in a position. Our hearts occupy that position before God. We are sons of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he sat and the 12 apostles with him, not because they deserve to sit with him, But because it was God's will that they sat with him and partake this Passover. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Why? Because it was the appointed time. God was going to do a work never seen from the foundations of the earth. Never seen from the foundations of the creation. This was the ultimate act in history. This was a sequence in which God was going to do something to bring forth sons of God out of nothing, out of sin and decay. He was going to fashion and bring out of this Passover, not just taking a nation out of Egypt and bringing it into the promised land. He was going to take a bunch of sinful people and raise them into the heavenly places to stand over the nations of the world. Hello. Can you imagine the faith involved? Think about it, guys. Think about it. Powerful, this salvation. Powerful. Amen. By grace. Grace upon grace. Jesus responds to God's plan with fervent desire. Talk about faith, guys. Faith. Talk about pure, perfect, awesome faith. Thank God for that faith. Thank God for that faith. Thank God for that perfect faith. And thank God that that perfect faith has been given to you and me so that we can become perfect sons. Nothing will be impossible to us. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. So when we partake of Holy Communion, what should our response be to God? Gratitude, guys. Gratitude. Our faith should respond in gratitude. Our faith should respond with a growing hope for the greater things that are yet to be manifested in our lives. Yeah? God's given you a call. Some of you know it. Some of you are struggling with it. Never mind. It will come. I pray that it will come before you go home to be with the Lord. So that you can begin that process of growing in the Lord. But that call that God has given on your life is a sacred call. Very sacred, because Jesus shed his blood for that call to manifest over your life. When the psalmist writes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that call is the conduit through which that reality, that prophetic reality, is going to manifest in your life and my life. Hello. We may not look like that. We may look like everything is turning upside down in our lives. Everything is going wrong in our lives. But God says, look at me. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This is the faith that was perfected through the cross. This is the faith that God responded with in resurrection power. Responded to with resurrection power. That's the power that works within you and me. Praise the Lord. And nothing will be impossible to us. That's what you must understand as a Christian. Not look at yourself and say, woe is me. If you look at yourself, yes, the woe will come by itself. No need to. But that's not what it's about. It's hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I do not have to be like this, man. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to live like this. I don't have to be conformed to this body of sin. I can be a new creation. Why? Because of the faith of my God given to me through Jesus Christ in his blood. And it's an oath. And Jesus Christ enters into this oath with fervent desire, although he knew he was going to suffer for that oath to be manifested. Tremendous person, Jesus Christ. A tremendous person who must be Lord in your heart. Otherwise, let me put it to you frankly, then you are a fool. To turn down this person and turn down the opportunity to make him Lord in your heart, that's the reasoning of a fool. It's got nothing to do with IQ and EQ and PQ and whatever else. It's merely a response to God. He who responds to Jesus Christ is brilliant. He who does not respond to Jesus Christ is a fool. Because you've got nothing else in your life. Doesn't matter how talented you are. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have after your name. So we are very smart people. Praise the Lord. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You and I are creatures of fulfillment. That's what true faith does. It brings the fulfillment of God into your life. You must discover that. As you discover that, you will fall in love with God. And God says that when that reality is fulfilled in your love, your life, you will love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that love for God is what will enable you to love your neighbor as yourself. When you appreciate what God has done for you, and you appreciate that He's doing that same thing in somebody else's life, although it may be in a different way, then you will value what that person is called to become. And you will not become a stumbling block over that person's calling and that person's future. You understand? We've got to understand this. When we are in leadership of the church, we should make sure that every person rises up to be where God wants them to be. And not be a stumbling block. Why? Because the Master's love is what has made us. What is making us. He took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. Take this and share it. Share it through your life. Share it in the things that you do every day. It is pointless if we come to church and partake of this Passover in the church. It has to be seen in our lives. We have to share it in our lives. We have to share it in our marriages. We have to share it in the lives of our children. We have to share it in the lives of our greater family. We have to share it in our workplaces, in our ministries. We have to share it. That's where we share the cup. That cup is the faith of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Powerful. Because of that cup, because of the witness that is in that cup, you and I can become sons of God. Praise the Lord for that faith. Praise the Lord for that love. Thank God I don't have to stand before God in my mediocrity. I can draw upon the excellence of Jesus Christ. And brethren, we can minister that brilliance to every man, woman, and child in God's creation. And we have to find out how to do that. It's a Passover. It's about the glory of God manifesting. It's not about the glory of man. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus is the true vine. The fruit of the vine come off the vine. Hello. And he wants to drink of the fruit of the vine when the kingdom of God comes. We are here to manifest the kingdom of God. Not in a place like this, but wherever we go. Took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Become a living member of the body of Christ. And look at your fellow members of the body of Christ and understand that the Bible says we are members one of another. Somebody else's success is your success, brother. That's why we pray for frontline ministers. If you don't pray for your frontline ministers, they will fall. Every time a pastor fails, it is because his church did not stand up and pray for him. Nobody is perfect. Where can you find a perfect man of God? They don't exist. But if we stand together as one body and we understand that we all have to be under leadership and we have to cover that leadership in prayer. That's how God has ordained it, so that we will be one body, so that we will be knit together. Because we are members one of another, God is trying to tell something. So in a marriage covenant, he says that the wife should be submitted to the husband. Why? Because he wants to bring forth a reality. Because the bride of the Lamb must be submitted to her husband. But the demand on the husband is that he must love the wife as Christ loves his church. That's not easy to do. That too is a work of God. So we are members one of another. We have to get into that. We have to appreciate what God has called each one of us to become. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Powerful words. Because that blood was shed, you and I have a covenant, guys. A covenant to be written into our hearts. Powerful work. Awesome work. Shall we pray? Precious and Holy Father, we want to give you glory and honor, worship and praise for this blessing called faith, Lord. You have designed it so spectacularly, Lord. From the kind intentions of your will, you have manifested that faith into the dimensions of your creation so that it will grow from the hearts of men, so that men will stand in the positions you have ordained for them by right faith, true faith, being built and nurtured in their inward parts. And the end result of that faith will be a Passover that will enable us to be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty, as we celebrate that reality by vow of covenant that you swore in the blood of the Lamb. As we partake of this covenant in the merits of the Lamb, as we partake as members of one body, not just in this place but across the world, oh God, we thank you that you stand beyond our divisions, that you stand far beyond our doctrinal positions. Your love can see a body come forth, a body united, oh God, where we will love each other because you have first loved us, oh God. Sometimes it is hard to comprehend that kind of a love, Father. But we thank you that you have a faith that will enable that love to manifest and be proclaimed through each one of our lives. We want to thank you with gratitude in our hearts that you have not given up on us, Lord. That you have not measured us in our merits. Because if you had done so, we would all be non-starters, oh God. But you have chosen to love us. And we thank you that that love is no mere emotion. That love is proclaimed to us in the Son, in his witness and his testament. And we thank you that as we celebrate this Holy Communion, we remember him. We remember him, and as we remember him, everything that you have given us in him is open to us in that remembrance. So bless and sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling, O God, his sacrifice to our lives, unveiling, O God, your awesome covenant to our lives, that we, the body of Christ, both Jew and Gentile, across the earth and in the heavenly places, celebrate the glory of your grace. We celebrate, O God, with thankfulness in our heart, with gratitude in our hearts. Thank you, Holy God, for all that your Spirit is manifesting in us, in Jesus' name. We worship you, we glorify you, and we pray that this Passover will be performed in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Precious and Holy Father, We thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. We thank you that your word declares to all of us, Lord, that of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We pray for this realization through faith to manifest the substance of the Master's fullness into us, the bread of the holy, the bread of the most holy, that we will receive and realize that which is of the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that we can become chosen vessels of the Most High God. We thank you for your creation. We thank you for the faith that you have released to us, O God, in your precious Son, that is able to enable us to realize this creation in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, O Lord, that as we partake of this Passover, we are receiving and realizing of a prophetic reality that you mean to perform in each one of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that this cup represents the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen, O God, of all that has been expressed for us through the cross of Jesus. We thank you that you have undertaken a great and awesome task in our lives. We thank you that in the merits of the Lamb, as we respond, O God, to your great purpose over our lives, O Lord, our faith will realize, O God, an awesome destiny, Lord. An awesome destiny in the merits of the Lamb. We pray that our faith will always have the witness that Jesus Christ is Lord, our Master, our Beloved, forever and forever. Amen.